Today on With the First Pick, we're breaking out our first round picks into tiers. I'll have Rick give a detailed explanation in a second, but here's the Cliff's Notes, Rick. Let's see now. Within the first round or any round, there are players you have in the same tier or cluster or group because you've determined ahead of time that they're similarly valued, and you do this to streamline the draft day process, but also so you don't overdraft at, say, one position of need, perhaps, when a much better player is still on the board. I'm Ryan Wilson. That's Rick Spielman, of course. And Rick, before I get you to give the detailed explanation, let me point out it's episode 147, and how many days until the 2024 NFL draft?
Oh, God, it can't come fast enough. But Ryan, in case you didn't know, there are only 10 days left until the 2024 NFL draft.
You got any favorite number 10s that pop up?
The old Rolodex there?
Who you got?
Fran Tarkington.
Oh, that's a good one. That's it?
That's it.
All right, how about this? Here's another old school one that I had to look up. I had to look them up all the time. I don't have the Spielman Rolodex. Fran Tarkington is obviously an easy one. Jim Zorn.
Oh, Jim Zorn.
Eli Manning, of course, and Colorado's own Steelers second-round pick. Quarterback.
Cordell Stewart.
You got it, Cordell Stewart. All right, Rick, how was my explanation of the tiers, clusters, groups? Was that close? Was that way off? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. You're the GM. I'm just sitting in a corner shaking my head again as usual during these meetings. And I don't know what you and Debo had in a staff meeting this weekend without me. So I just
you were at the lake house, by the way. You chose not to come.
I don't have a lake house, but that's fine. The explanation on how we're going to do this today from Debo's email instructions, again, were very unclear. So I did it in tiers of five. Because that's what it looked like last year. You did it differently, but we'll figure it out as we go. But in essence, when teams are at this stage of their draft meetings, they have stacked the board vertically by position. So the best quarterback down to the worst quarterback, the best running back down to the worst running back, et cetera, going down the draft board. And you put them in specific categories. And then you look at the board horizontally. So this quarterback, this offensive tackle, this defensive end, this receiver are all equal in ability. So when you're looking at your draft board, you're looking at it horizontally. And then you can start picking for the need of your team within that horizontal category. And that's kind of what the thought process is to doing this. And when you're with a team, and you're working with that horizontal category, those needs can be different. So that's why you see, well, why would they take him when, you know, maybe he's the third in that cluster on the board. So that's when teams start going within the need. But if you go down a category horizontally, that's when you start to reach, and that's what you don't want to do.
Yeah, I've emailed you my horizontal tiers three times now. I'll try them again. We'll see if it works.
It came.
What's that?
Your email finally arrived.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I sent it from another email. I'm going to give it to Debo, and maybe Debo can open it at some point. And
Your email went in my junk thing because I'm finding out that there is a junk box, and people tell me they email me all the time. And I says, well, I didn't get the email.
Maybe that's what it is. It's funny. So Ryan Wilson, my Gmail version, my personal account goes to junk. My work version comes right to you.
All right. Well, I've got it twice now. So now you're starting to get a little obnoxious with it.
I gotta regulate my the number of times I get in contact with you. All right, Debo, I sent you that thing. I don't know if you can open it and maybe get some thoughts from Rick on it, if that's what he's thinking about. If I know Rick, he'll probably hate it, but that's okay. It's the thought.
This is something. Yeah, just open it up. It's actually not bad.
Oh, see there. All right, so
it's a little bit of a horizontal type board, although I don't agree with the rounds.
That's okay. So here, Debo has it up. Yeah. I just emailed it to Debo, so we'll go through this quickly. So the green are the first round grades, and this is just for my big board. If you're listening, it's going to be hard to visualize this, but you can watch this on YouTube at NFL and CBS when you get home. Don't do it while you're driving. So the green are the first round picks, and the horizontal columns are by position. So and this is just my big board, and I just broke this out yesterday while I was killing time watching the end of the Masters there. So tell me, Rick, what do you disagree with in terms of how you might do it when you were at the, with the Vikings, for example?
Because you're anticipating like A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConklin are going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
What I would do with this horizontal board is don't do it by round. Do it by whether he's going to be a Pro Bowl player, next category, maybe starting day one for you. Next category, starting first his rookie year, but not immediately.
Oh, maybe
by the second half of the year. So you break it down into those categories. That way you don't have 250 guys in each category like you have here.
Well, let's talk about that quickly because a lot
Have second and third round. That's a cluster of a lot of names. So how do you keep all that straight? So when you're actually looking at a real vertical, a horizontal draft board, something similar to this, it is a lot more detailed and a lot more broken down. Now in the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds or backups, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot more names, but when you're in those first three rounds, you really want to try to put either the scout or, you know, the decision on, is this guy an immediate starter? Is he developmental start in his first year? The next category would be he's not going to start his first year, but he'll be a starter by year two. Then the following category, and that's saying they are good, red, solid starters. The third category we had was there were two categories within there. Guys that will be 17-game starters that were marginal starters. They're not going to be in the top tier, but they can still line up and win 17 games for you. And then within those categories, most of the time, those guys have an issue on is his negatives correctable with coaching or not. So if it's a technique thing, usually that was correctable with coaching. If it was something stiff ankles or something that you couldn't fix from a coaching standpoint, they went into that category. Not meaning they're not going to be the same as those guys that are have flaws that are correctable with coaching. They're both going to be good players. You just got to know the one's going to have limitations.
All right, that's interesting. Let me ask you a couple questions. So for the purposes of our discussion here, I didn't do the categories like you do them. I broke them down by rounds just because that's how I think about these things in the media. But and let's say, for
that's
example,
the wrong way to think of things, but that's fine.
I got halfway there. That's progress, right? So just stay right there, Debo. And let's say you have a need at cornerback and an off-ball linebacker. And if you're making the pick at whatever pick, it doesn't matter. Let's say pick 20. And Cooper DeJean is the best available cornerback, but Edge Cooper is your number one linebacker based on how you have them graded. And I have Edge Cooper going in the second round and Cooper going in the bottom of the first. You would take Cooper, correct?
The category above.
Yeah. Even though he's cornerback four based on where you have him, you still have him graded higher than Edge and you would take
but you him have there. Him in a higher category.
Yeah.
So, and I would agree with how you have him categorized, but if I need a linebacker, I'm not going, and I have guys in that top tier grouping, I'm not going to not take one of those guys to take what we're saying is a lesser talent.
And we've talked about this before, but this isn't a conversation you're having on draft day. You've already sorted this stuff out. So you're not spending 10 minutes trying to figure this out, correct?
No, there's no talk on draft day.
Yes. You're just taking calls about potential trades. Otherwise you've written Cooper's name down and whoever runs it to the podium, runs it to the podium metaphorically.
Right. Then actually when we're getting ready to come on the clock, I'll just put the three names up on the board separately. Okay, these are three names. This is how we had them coming out of the meeting. We're good with this one more time. Usually you've been through it so much. So this, everybody knows, these are the three names and we're going to take them in this order. So if we're doing that three or four picks ahead and those names start peeling off, then you know, okay, the third guy we had on the list, well, he's still in that upper category. The first two we had on that list actually were selected before our selection, but we're still going to take that third guy.
Gotcha. The other thing I wanted to ask you, and Debo, does it seem like it makes sense? Are we doing a good job explaining this, or where would you grade the Rick's explanation?
I understand it better than 9 minutes ago.
All right, well, that's good. That's the point.
I understand it better than the instructions I get from Debo on what's going to be on the podcast.
You just can't let it go. Can't let Debo have a moment.
One day the tapes will be released and
you will be justice will be served. Justice will be served indeed. The other thing I want to ask you, Rick, because this comes up every year around this time, maybe a little closer to the draft. How many board, like I have, we've watched close to 300 plus guys just because, you know, that's what we're talking about these guys all year long. What does an NFL draft board, like how many guys deep are you going? Because you talked about you're not doing it by rounds because it keeps you from doing 250.
On average, people on their what we call the front board, or people refer to it as their front board, guys that they feel that are actually draftable, will have about 150 names on that board.
And the back board, what happens when you get through the 150?
Well, the problem is, it's not a problem, is that everybody's front boarded, and especially in the first two rounds, are going to look very similar. But when you get to rounds 4 through 7, and you're in that 100 to 150 players on that front board, they're all different because you may have someone on your back board that someone else has on their front board. So because it's easy to pick the top 20, top 30 players, even the top 50 players, but the farther you go down on the draft board, then that is a lot of difference between what one team thinks and another team thinks. So that's why you end up having select 255, because if you combined everybody's draft board, you're probably going to have 300 names on there. Right. Our 150 may look different than another team's 150, whose draft board 150 may look different than another team's, if that makes sense.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, well, Debo's smarter, so at least we've accomplished something in this the first 10 minutes here. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into these tiers, and Rick can complain more about the lack of instruction right after this. By the way, Rick, my wife and I watched the first episode of A Gentleman in Moscow last night.
Was it good?
Very good. Based on a book. I don't read books. She does. She said it was a great book, and she enjoyed the first episode. So check it out. Paramount Plus, Showtime, Ewan McGregor.
I'm waiting for The Lioness to come back.
You know what's funny, Debo? The subscription I had to get for Rick is up June 1st. So hopefully it comes back and then I don't renew the subscription. He has to get it on his own.
Bob Marley movie now streaming on Paramount.
Oh, yeah. And Rick, again, I mentioned all the time, Rick's secretly a music guy, which you never go ahead. Yeah,
and I believe it's called One Love, isn't it?
Yes, Rick.
I thought Dima would be more impressed with that.
I don't know. How come I can't do any advertisements?
You can. Have Debo start making you do the reads. All right, let's get into these tiers, Rick. Rick's tier one, shockingly, Caleb Williams is at the top. There's no bigger fan of Caleb Williams than Rick Spielman. So his tier one is Caleb, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Drake May, Jaden Daniels in that order. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Rick, but I'm assuming you have the two quarterbacks there because that's a more important position than, say, safety, for example.
No, you're absolutely wrong.
Okay. That sounds about right. My tier one, and then you can correct me. Caleb, Marvin, Malik. Then I have Fashanu and Alt, and then I have Jaden Daniels. So I went six guys in my tier one. And I just
didn't
basically
know you're allowed to do that, but that's fine.
You can do whatever you want. Nothing's going to happen if you break the rules. So, all right. Correct me as to why quarterback positional value wasn't a determining factor, and then tell me about your tier one.
I think that I put Drake May and Jaden Daniels in tier one because I think I'm adding a little bit of value to the quarterback position, but I think those guys are just as good at their position as Joe Alt. And I had Fashanu down a tier because I don't think he is as complete as Joe Alt. I think the quarterbacks are more complete at their position, as we talked today, than Fashanu is. That doesn't mean Fashanu's not going to be a great player, but I just had him a tier below.
Let me ask you about that. So do you think Fashanu has a chance to be special, number one, and number two? Does that determine?
I think he'll be, a day one starter. I don't think he'll be in the Pro Bowl category or top five at his position by the time it's said and done. But he'll be a solid starter that you can win 17 games with.
Did you feel that he had a chance to be special if he had come out after 2022? Because 2022, his tape is a little more consistent, it felt like.
Yeah, but I'm not going to discredit him for coming back and playing. I thought that was admirable, and I think it also helped him from an experience standpoint.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like him a little bit better than Joe Alt. And every time we have the mock drafts, I have Joe Alt going 7 ahead of Fashanu because I think he's more ready to play. But I think Fashanu has a chance to be a pretty good player. All right, so you mentioned Drake May there. How close are Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because we talked about that to death, especially once we finished the LSU Pro Day a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I keep going back and forth on that. This round, we still have 10 days, but I had Marvin just slightly ahead of him. But I do know for a fact that some teams have Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. I verified that.
And you can't go wrong with either one. You talk about all the time, the 2020.
If Arizona stays there at number four and Marvin Harrison is the first guy, then he'll go first. But if it's another team that has Malik ahead of Marvin Harrison, which I don't, you know, I'm not going to say who, then Malik would go. But it all depends on what Arizona does is where Marvin Harrison will go.
Right. Again, the 2020 draft, Henry Ruggs was the first wide receiver taken. You took Justin Jefferson fifth. Brandon Ayuk was sixth. I won't tell you who was fourth. But he went to TCU, went to Debo's Eagles, and didn't work out.
Hey, Ryan, you got Ayuk or CeeDee Lamb?
I took Ayuk in the redraft. And by the way, Debo, I wanted to plant this seed.
Ooh, you did.
I got a lot of pushback.
That's why I brought it up, Rick. There was some generational hate in the comments going on for Ryan for that.
No pick. Lies detected. Yeah.
Oh, so, I don't know if I would have done that.
Okay. So CeeDee was a wide receiver two in that draft. Brandon Ayuk was wide receiver six. Interesting. Interesting. So I nominate Debo over the summer. We do the 2022 redraft. Do the entire first round. So I want to get, and we'll let Rick have the first pick so he can say, take Aiden Hutchinson. I can take Sauce number two. I think that's draft. And then we can figure out the wide receiver situation.
It's not that hard to figure out. You know what they are now. It's easy.
It's so easy that you would definitely take CD 10 times out of 10 over Brandon Ayuk?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
A lot. Okay.
Huh?
I said I like them both a lot, but okay. Yeah, I think Debo coined it perfectly. Generational hate.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that under my stage name.
I think you also waited until 9, like you waited another 5 picks to take CD.
Right. Oh, yeah. I did take them eventually, but it was after.
It's not like they were back to back.
Yeah, they were. People were fired up about that. I blame Ruben, our social media guy. All right. So my tier ones, Kayla, Marvin, Malik, Fashanu, Alt, Jaden Daniels, as I mentioned. And Rick, one last time, I've been going back and watching the quarterback games again just to keep them fresh in my mind. It is hard to see Jaden Daniels play and Drake May play and think that Drake is Drake better right now in your mind than Jaden. Let's start there.
Jaden had a better year. I think I'm not going to argue that, but I think Drake is going to be a really, really good quarterback. So I think he'll eventually be a better quarterback than Jaden.
Okay. And he is two.
It may not be initially.
No,
but I think over time it will show that Drake was better than Jaden.
And Jaden, I think, is 24, and Jaden is 24, I think, and Drake, I think, is 21. So there's also, give him 2.5-3 years and see what he looks like. I'm willing to do that, but I just think the tape in 2023 wasn't close for me. That's why I have Jaden.
Jaden turns 24 in December, so have a little bit of time.
Yeah. So maybe 2.5 years difference, and that's a huge 2.5 years when you're talking about development of a quarterback.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
We shall.
You can't just go off of 1 year. You got to go off the grand picture.
I get that. That's why I asked you about Fashanu. And you gave him credit for coming back.
I did.
All right. Tier two. And these are all guys that, I mean, so just to be clear, I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I'll bring this up in a second. I was going to try to do an and or with you, but your top five guys are solid. You're not taking anyone but those top five guys if they're available.
Yep.
All right. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll do tier 2, 3, 4, 5. And I did a bonus one, 6, which you didn't do because you follow the rules.
I just do what the instructions say to do.
All right. Well, the instructions are telling me to take a break real quick. We'll take a break and come back and do tier 2 right after this. All right, Rick, tier 2. At the top for you, Rome Odunze, then Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner, Olafashinu. It's a pretty solid list.
Yeah, very solid.
Trying to think if there are any. So we
there's
have the
nothing
first
controversial with
no.
There,
so. In fact, it's so non-controversial that my list is Brock Bowers, Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, Roma Dunze. So the difference for my list and your list in tier two is I have Verse and Byron Murphy. Woohoo! So do you think, well, clearly you don't. Byron Murphy's not a top 10 player for you. I'm trying to think, when do you have him coming off the board here?
Right after. 12. Oh,
okay. There we go. Yeah, so it's close. And Jared Verse is 11. So again,
yeah,
you said it earlier, teams are going to have their boards pretty similar, top 150, top 32, whatever, and we're following that path. And it's not necessarily an issue of groupthink because we disagree about some things, but if 32 teams have similarly ranked players, I think that's just the consensus. Now, you can miss on these players, see Zach Wilson, see Mac Jones, I get it. But based on what we saw over the fall and the previous falls and the pre-draft process and the All-Star games, nothing controversial here.
No. And there's just a hair difference, if there's any difference between this grouping on the ability at their position.
Right. Exactly. So I think that you agree that you like Dallas Turner better than Jared Verse, but there's not a gap difference between the two. And if Leiatu Latu was 100% healthy, he's probably right there in the top in the three-man conversation.
No.
You don't think so? What's the difference between those three for you?
Different styles. Turner's the best athlete. Verse is probably the best combo run and pass rusher. Latu is the most polished of the three as far as pass rush moves, but I don't think his upside is as high as Verse and Turner.
He's a little older too.
Yeah.
Not that necessarily means anything, but just pointing that out. All right. Tier two is pretty smooth. The fact that we both have Brock Bowers as the seventh best player is telling. How high would you draft? I think we've had this conversation. You would take Brock Bowers 10 with the Jets.
Yes.
So according to
I'm all in, the Jets are all in. So I've got it. You know, if they're not building for the future, of all the moves they made and all the risk they took, and if those guys can stay healthy, the risk will pay off with Smith and, with some of the guys that they brought in to help that offensive line.
Yeah. Morgan Moses, too, correct?
Morgan Moses, they traded from Baltimore.
Hey, Debo, will you put Rick's tier two back up real quick? I want to ask him a question because based on his tiers, on his buckets, on his groups, if you're picking at 10 and you're the Jets, Brock Bowers is there, Joe Alt is there, and Olafashinu is there, you don't care about the offensive line. You're taking Brock Bowers, correct?
Yeah, because of what they've shown that they're pulling all their chips in the middle this year, and if it doesn't work out, the whole thing, I think, is going to blow up.
Okay. But I'm just saying, based on the way you have them tiered here, that would also be there's no conversation. Yes. We're taking Brock.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But, and you pushed back on me about this when we did the mock draft recently, Roma Dunze and Brock Bowers, you're taking Roma Dunze.
If I'm the Jets, I'm taking Brock Bowers because I need a tight end more than I need the receiver. They're equal in ability.
Okay. I got
you. I'm just saying the Jets, because of the need, I think they, and you got a potential Pro Bowl tight end there, I'm taking the tight end.
All right. My tier two is similar. I just have Jared Verse and Dallas Turner neck and neck, and then Byron Murphy snuck in at 11. And then Rick has in his tier three, Jared Verse is 11, Byron Murphy's 12. And then Terry and Arnold, J.C. Latham, and then Quinyon Mitchell. Again, the cornerbacks are neck and neck, so you would not be shocked, I would imagine, if Quinyon went before Terry on.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, this
pick your flavor.
Right. Quinyon's, I believe, a little longer. He ran faster. Doesn't necessarily mean he plays faster, but he played plenty fast. And then Terion, he checks a lot of boxes, and he played in the SEC against some top flight talent consistently.
Not consistently. The second half of the
second
year.
Second half after Rick yelled at him consistently. What you called him trash? Is that what you called him?
According to Terion, you did. The
thing about Rick is, man, he's real.
He is real. He called me real trash. Unbelievable. All right. I want to talk about Byron Murphy because I feel like he's not getting lost in the mix, but he plays a position that's not as sexy as some of the other positions. Let's see. Could he go? Like Tennessee has to take a offensive tackle. What about 8 at Atlanta?
I think they're still going to go with they need an edge.
I'm trying to figure out how high Byron Murphy can go. Chicago's not taking him, I don't think, at nine. That would be crazy. They got Zach Pickens last year and Gervon Dexter out of Florida. Not crazy, crazy, but I feel
No, that's not crazy. Okay. I mean, I would consider it if I was Chicago.
Okay. So maybe nine is the highest he could go. He's not going 10, I don't think, unless something nutty happens. All right. So he could go nine. And I'll ask you this because I ask every time. If you're the Steeler sitting there at 20 and Byron Murphy's there and Jackson Powers Johnson's there and JT Latham's there, for example, what are you doing?
Well, that's the probability of that happening is no probability because that's not going to happen. So you're dealing with a hypothetical that makes no sense.
It's a podcast, Rick. That's what we do. That's all we do is hypothesize.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to definitely take Byron Murphy or JC Latham ahead of Jackson Powers.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been on the
JC. Because he's not in the same. I know, but they're not in the same tier.
Got it. There you go. That's all I wanted you to say. I didn't know that, but now I do.
Trying to work me to get the right answer. And yeah. You knew the answer all along.
I didn't know that I knew it, though. That's what's the tricky about it. All right. So we get a little divergent here in our tier threes. I mentioned yours. I'll mention them again quickly. Verse, Byron Murphy, Terry Arnold, JC Latham, Quinyon Mitchell. My tier three, Drake May at 12. Can you believe that?
You don't like him.
I do like him.
No, you don't. You think he's Will Levis.
It's going to be a sad day when Will Levis has a all-pro season. We have to listen to Pete Briscoe. Then I have Quinyon Mitchell and Leatu Latu, then Tully Fuaga, Terrion Arnold, and Troy Faitanu. And I have all these guys grouped really closely together in terms of how and the differences between them. They're very little difference. I like these guys a lot. I just have them a little higher than Rick does. That said, right there and at the start of top of tier four for Rick, Tully Fuaga.
Yeah.
And then Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah. No, I didn't see him on your list. I don't know if he made it or not. But
Yeah, he must have made it. I'll double check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's in your tier four.
Okay, there we go.
So I don't know if I would have had Latu that high just because in your tier three because of the medical. I think Drake May's too low. I think he goes up a tier.
Yeah.
I think the corners I can live with there and the offensive line, to be honest with you, I can live with there as well.
By the way, fun fact. We had a chance to talk to Troy Faitanu while you were traveling last week. Me and Dio.
Why you guys do like a lot of stuff when I'm not around.
You're so busy flying all over the country. He was fantastic. Debo, how much fun was Troy Faitanu?
He was great. That will drop, you know, by the time you're seeing this on YouTube, you'll be able to see Troy as well.
And guess what we asked him, Rick?
Did you ask him about why he wears his pants so up by his thighs?
100%. I gave the backstory. I said, you know, Rick's an old school GM. And he said several teams asked him that very same question.
So, oh, really? I wasn't the first?
Yeah, I was shocked. But I guess it makes sense. You get the old schoolers there that are wondering. They described them as bike shorts, apparently, according to Troy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys can check that out in the old YouTube feed. And is that going to be on Apple Podcasts as well, Debo?
Just YouTube.
Or is that a YouTube exclusive?
Just an exclusive on YouTube. Subscribe to NFL on CBS.
All right. Check that out on YouTube at NFL on CBS. It's great. We got like 15, 20 minutes with him, and he was a lot of fun. And he keeps talking up. I'll just give you a little sneak peek, Rick. He asked the same question that Roma Dunze asked us rhetorically when we saw him at the Combine. Why is Michael Penix Jr. not considered the best quarterback in this class? And you can argue about Caleb Williams, but it is fair to ask why is everyone considering him. Potentially not, or some people consider him not a potential first round pick. So we commiserated over that. All right. So Troy Faitanu finds his way into your tier four at 18. He ranks 17 for me. Mentioned Brian Thomas Jr. Then you have JJ McCarthy at 19, right on cue ahead of Michael Penix Jr. and then Kool-Aid McKinstry. So this tier four gets interesting, Rick, because you got some names on here that either we haven't talked about a lot or maybe feel higher than I feel comfortable with. So, let me ask you, let's start with Brian Thomas Jr. because I want to ask you, how are you going to use him to get the most out of his abilities? Because right now he's a deep threat, right?
Yes. How like precise my lists are when people are watching this, it's very easy to read. When you put 22 people in tier four, that's a little more cloudy.
Oh gosh.
It's not clear as day, Debo.
Okay.
as Debo put in the email, and this should be clear as day instructions, which it wasn't.
Oh, Lord.
But now I tried to make it a little bit more precise so the viewers can just hone in on these five names in this tier.
I think our viewers are smarter than you give them credit for, but that's between.
I'm not saying they're not smart. I'm just saying it's easier to process with fewer names and tiers.
All right. Take it easy on that squeeze ball there. It's about to, it's begging for mercy. All right. Brian Thomas Jr., deep threat. Number one, when you're having these meetings about him, are you, you're having the conversations, but how are you going to develop him? Because I would imagine you want to develop someone you're taking in the middle of the first round to do more than run go routes all day. And then how are you using him early as he grows into that development?
Yeah, no, I'm throwing him outside right away. And I know he can go get the ball. I know the progress he made from the first half of the year to the second half of the year was very good. I know by now that I've been to the pro day. I may have had a private workout with him. I've done all the research I've done that I'll know how far along he is as far as developing on routes. I think he can drop his weight for as big as he is. And I think he's explosive into and out of his cuts. So those are the thing day one, when he walks in, we're going to start on route refinement and have him start learning. The other thing that receivers have to learn, depending on what offensive system they're in, is as they release, they have to read and recognize what coverage is. Because if it's cover two versus a, you know, a quarters coverage or a deep third or cover three, they're going to have to know what the quarterback's seeing as well. So that's the part that takes some time for receivers to learn. So if it's cover two, I'm not going to run. I can maybe turn a hitch into a little fade route to try to get in the hunting hole between the corner and the safety. If it's a cover three and I see the corner dropping deep, then I'll keep my hitch on. But those are all the little nuances that these receivers are going to have to learn.
And just based on you now in the media, not having access to all the behind the scenes stuff, you feel comfortable with Brian Thomas Jr. making those strides?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Let me ask you about Tully Fuaga and Troy Faitanu. Fuaga was the right tackle at Oregon State. Faitanu played left tackle, wears the shorts that Rick's loved so much. Is, and Faitanu, by the way, had 34.5-inch arms. There's been some conversation throughout the process that he has to move inside. Do you see that at all? Because I don't.
No, I think you get someone, if they draft him, that's the thing you're talking about in these draft meetings. If we draft him here to our team, where are we lining him up? Are we going to keep him at left tackle, or are we moving him inside right away? But each team may have a different strategy on where they're going to line him up if they draft him. So let's say Dallas drafted him. Well, do we keep Tyler Smith at left guard and put him at left tackle, or do we flop them? So those are the, in these meetings, not only you're talking about the player, but you're talking about if we do draft this guy, where are we going to line him up? Because the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, for an offensive lineman is play him at one position, then move him inside, then move him to center, then move him back out to left tackle. They're going to have to learn and grow at one position as a rookie. And then as they expand in their career, you may be able to expand where you can line them up or find the best position. But for the rookie year, we're either drafting them as a left tackle or drafting them as a guard or a center. Let's line them up there, start them there, and we'll go on from there.
And Faitanu has only had a handful of snaps inside, if I recall correctly. So it's not like something he can do. I don't remember if Tyler Smith played inside.
Well, that's the point. If he hasn't, if he only had a handful, if he did have a handful of snaps, then you better put him there day one from rookie minicamp so he can start making those adjustments.
Right, exactly. And the other name I'll mention, you have Kool-Aid McKinstry. Is that a function of just that he ran well at his pro day because we were concerned about that? Because nothing's changed in terms of the tape because I haven't played a game since January or whenever the last play.
No, I just think that I think this kid's getting undervalued some.
Okay.
Because I think he can fit multiple schemes. I think, you know, then you find out about the foot injury and then did he play on that foot all season? You know, you go back 2 years ago and he was the top corner, I think, when he's coming out of our summer school scouting. So,
yep.
But he could play zone. He could play man coverage. Very instinctive, very smart football intelligence wise. I just think this guy's getting undervalued and someone's going to get a solid starting corner. To me, he was a AJ Terrell. Is what my pro comp was to him.
That's a pretty good comp. All right, tier four for me.
And it's this a is cluster where... of thousands and thousands of names.
I count nine names. But sure, thousands, if that's what makes you feel better. But I think more than the fact that there are thousands of names here, there are going to be some that you can have some serious disagreement with. Amarius Mims is at the top of my list, and I have him five or six spots ahead of J.C. Latham. J.C. Latham's 23rd for me. He was 14 for you. And this, like Fashanu, is projection. More so for Mims, because Mims has played much less football. If Mims is healthy, and I know the track record isn't great based on the one season of work, I think he's one of the best athletes among the offensive tackles and has a chance to be really, really good. Do you agree with that at least?
I think he has upside, but he's way more of a gamble than a J.C. Latham.
I agree with that.
And how much do you want to gamble in the first round?
Yeah.
That first round pick has to hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody misses. I missed in the first round. But if you're going to draft someone in the first round, you want to take the surest bet you possibly can take.
Yep. And that is indeed.
You can take those, I want to say, projections maybe later with less financial ramifications if they don't hit. But you're putting all your eggs in Mims, and I commend you for that courage to go out there and say he's going to be a starter year one.
Yeah, I've had long conversations with myself about that, which is just a weird thing to say out loud, I suppose. Nate Wiggins, Brian Thomas Jr. follow after Mims, then Johnny Newton, who somehow gets lost in the mix because of Byron Murphy, and they're only going to be. Do you think there are two defensive tackles that go in the first round?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
That's anywhere, it.
Though. Yeah, I was going to say, anywhere our buddy Braden Fisk makes his way into the first round?
Nah, I could see, I don't know, maybe someone at the end.
But Tampa, they get all the short arm guys?
Yeah, then I see him more. I don't think he's going to last within the first five picks of the second round.
I think that's right. Let me ask you this. Do you think that
there's just too many as I went through this and tried to put this cluster?
Yeah.
There are guys like you made the bonus list. So I don't know if you get bonus money for the bonus list. It wasn't explained because I had five or six guys there that could, if you looked at last year's cluster compared to this year's cluster, I think your bonus cluster list that you're going to show, those guys would be ahead of some of those guys that we had in our first round cluster last year.
I was going to ask you exactly that. If you're Tampa Bay, for example, or whomever, who's a better player coming out, do you think? Kalijah Kancey, who Tampa took last year in the first round, or Braden Fisk?
I think that's close.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the point.
And Kancey, you know, he had the foot injury early and then he started to come on. But I think that's very close.
Yeah. And I mentioned Kalijah because he has the short arms. That's someone that Braden alluded to in terms of paving the way. And he did have that good season after he got healthy last year as a rookie. I'm not trying to downgrade him at all. Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJean. And again, we're hearing more and more about Cooper, who tested pretty well at his pro day a few weeks ago. He doesn't have the ability to play corner. He's better than Riley Moss. He plays corner. And I mentioned Riley not because he's white, but because he came out of Iowa last year as a third-round pick. That's why. So before you get angry about that, not you, just people on the internet who hated my Brandon Ayuk over CeeDee Lamb pick, those guys. Can Cooper play corner, Rick, outside or no?
I think someone will try him there, but yeah. I do think that if you put him in at nick and safety, I think that's going to be his best position.
Okay. We've never seen him play safety, I don't think.
No, but he's smart. He's intelligent. I think that's easy transition. He's way more talented, but we looked at guys like this, and it's hard to find. There's not a lot of top flight safeties in this draft.
Yeah.
But
especially that run like this.
Yeah. We took Cam Bynum out of Cal and moved him from corner to safety his rookie year and playing pretty good for Minnesota now.
Yeah. I remember him coming out, and I liked him because he was long.
Long.
He was long.
Okay.
What's your definition of long? Before I look it up and win a dollar.
He wasn't over 6 foot. He didn't have longer than 32 arms.
All right. I don't know about the 32 arms. I'm going to bet he's over 6 feet, though.
Okay.
6 foot, 31 3/4.
Is it what are you going off of?
This was combine testing.
Okay. look at the combine test. You pulled it up on NFL.com, wherever the hell you pulled it up. What? Look at what the actual measurement was. It was 5'11 something, the true measurement. They round up on the media stuff.
All right, we'll circle back to that. I think you owe me 50 cents is what I'm hearing, Rick.
No, I can guarantee you that.
All right, the rest of my list, well, Debo diligently.
Wait, look at this. I pulled up NFL.com for Cam Bynum, and I'm smacked in the face.
Oh, no.
With.
Oh, please don't let it be a Rick picture. Oh, Rick. What do you get on your shirt there? It looks like you had a soccer ball on your shirt there. Is that the microphone or something?
No, that was at the...
that's the draft mic, I think.
No, that's not. That it said that I got vaccinated, so I was allowed to be in the room.
Oh, you were wearing that. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Like we all had to wear COVID stickers.
Gotcha.
That we were vaccinated.
Little did you know, in a few years, you'll be doing a podcast with me and Debo. All because you refused to admit that Cam Bynum was 6 feet tall. All right. Just can't get away from Rick. The other name I wanted to mention on my list, J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. have them graded similarly, pretty closely, tied, in fact. And then I have A.D. Mitchell at the bottom of my tier four. And you have A.D. Mitchell. I have him at 26. You have him at 29. So, again.
So, you're saying, let me ask you this, since we're talking clusters. You're saying Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell are equal in ability?
Within the cluster, Brian Thomas Jr. is a little – if they're both on the board, I'm picking Brian first.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. But saying they're equal in ability.
Yeah, it's close. I think A.D. Mitchell does more route running-wise than Brian Thomas Jr. does now. But in terms of the physicality, measurables, I should say, height, weight, speed, they're pretty close. How much of a pushback are you going to give me that I have J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. ranked the same?
Not that much, because I don't have Michael Penix Jr. He's in my tier five, but he's not too far off of J.J.
He is not. So let's get to your tier five. JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, and then Nate Wiggins right there. So again, gosh, it must trouble you greatly that we have similar lists here.
No, you have two tiers up.
Cooper DeJean, Michael Penix Jr., 25, as I mentioned, Chop Robinson, Graham Barton, Johnny Newton, A.D. Mitchell, and then Tyler Guyton at 30. So, I mean, there's nothing controversial here. This is like you're just going chalk.
What do you want me to do?
I'm just trying to find something I can yell at you about. I don't have anything to yell at you about. I guess Tyler Guyton, he's probably the biggest project on this list. Maybe
he's not as big a project as Mims is.
And why do you say that?
Because Guyton had a really good Senior Bowl. He can run block. I think he's more polished in pass protection. May not be the same athlete that Mims is.
Yeah.
But I think he's more polished and ready to play than Mims is.
I would give you all that. I think Mims is a better athlete.
Yeah. That's why I didn't have Mims on my list.
Who's better, Tyler Guyton or last year, his former teammate, Anton Harrison? Anton, is Guyton.
I like Guyton.
It is Anton Harrison, correct? That's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, the left tackle.
That played right tackle in Jacksonville.
For Jacksonville, that's their first-round pick. You like Guyton a little better?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. I like Harrison coming out. So, and I like Guyton as well. I could see him. I have him going bottom of the first, early second. But you probably think more likely bottom of the first, correct?
Yeah. If he's there, if I was Baltimore, I would take him and run all day.
San Francisco, too, if they decide to pass on him?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
I don't think he gets past there.
So you have, interesting, you have Chop Robinson ahead of my tier five guy, Darius Robinson. So let's start there. How come?
I think Chop is going to be a dynamic pass rusher in this league. I think he's too unique athletically. Darius Robinson has more position flexibility, but it's not going to have the same impact as Chop Robinson is rushing off the edge. I think Darius is going to have to make his living rushing inside, which I think he'll be a good inline rusher, but he's not as dynamic or explosive coming off the edge as Chop.
What do you say when people complain that Chop didn't have much production in college? I think he had 4 sacks last year.
Yeah, I know. Those are the same people that said Danielle Hunter didn't either.
Oh, he's been saving that. Been sitting on that one, Steve-O. Okay.
I haven't been sitting on it. Don't. This guy will be a productive pass rusher at the next level just because of his twitch and his quickness and his get off.
I had Darius at 27 and then Chop at 30. So again, not very much different. One name that I have in my tier 5 at 29, and he may be just on the outside looking in. I would imagine he is based on what you said earlier. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's under 6 feet. He's under 190 pounds. Everything else I love about him. He was injured last year at times, so he wasn't able to play the entire season because of injury. But I mean, I don't know if that's indicative of anything other than he plays football.
No, the question is, the teams will be asking, is he just a slot? Because I don't know if he would be as effective if you lined him up outside. That's why I had – that didn't make my top five or my tier five, Ricky Pearsall nipping at his hip too, nipping at his heels, because I think Pearsall can play outside and in, where I think Ladd will be a really good slot receiver, but I just don't know if he can play outside.
All right. Who you taking, Zay Flowers or Ladd McConkey?
Boy.
Coming out of the draft, not now.
Yeah, no, I know that. I'm going to go with Ladd. I would have probably had Ladd ahead of Zay, even though I like Zay a lot last year. He's a good football player.
Jordan Addison or Ladd McConkey?
I like Jordan. I had Jordan a tier up than Ladd.
I think I'd take Jordan as well. Jackson Smith and Jigba or Ladd?
I would take in Ladd because I didn't know what Jackson Smith and Jigba without playing in the injury history, based off of if those guys were locked in this year, I would have taken Ladd.
And I think I know the answer, but just the fourth wide receiver last year in the first round, Quentin Johnston or Ladd?
Ladd. Yeah, yeah. Quentin was raw.
Yeah. Big, so again, athletic. Just goes to show you, Ladd's special, and I think there's a chance. I would take him at 32 all day long if I'm the Chiefs. If Tyler Guyton's gone, for example, if you don't want to get offensive line help.
Yeah, but now I'm going to have an interesting conversation with you.
Okay. What's that conversation going to be?
A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConkey if you're the Chiefs?
I love A.D., but I think Ladd is just so consistent that there's very few things.
Then why do you have him below him in your tier if you're going to take – so if you're Kansas City, you would have this –
Yeah, I'll take AD then. I just meant if it were down to Tyler, because Tyler's in the same tier as Ladd. But I'm fine.
I'm not even talking about Tyler. I just compared. My God, AD Mitchell and Ladd, and you're 32 and you're Kansas City. And you're, you know, putting Ladd McConkey in the Hall of Fame right now. Are you taking Ladd or are you taking AD Mitchell?
According to my tiers, I have to take AD. But
you do what you want to do. I mean, we still got 10 days.
That's true.
Are you taking Ladd or you take today?
Today, I'll take AD based on my tiers and the rules we set forth. The reason I mentioned Tyler Guyton is because I started the conversation by saying if they want offensive line help and Tyler and Ladd are there. But if it's AD and Ladd based on my tiers, I will take AD.
Okay.
I think Ladd is a more complete player right now.
So why would you take Ladd? Why wouldn't you take Ladd if he's more complete?
Because AD could be special. Like, he's bigger. He's a little faster, not much faster. And he does have the ability to run all three routes, and you're concerned with him playing outside with Ladd. I don't think you have that concern with AD, given his size. So that's why. But they're close. And Debo did some research while you were yelling at me. You had Smith and Jigba in tier one last year.
Oh, I did?
Tier two,
sorry. Your top wide receiver. You had Quentin at 27, Quentin Johnson, Zay and Jordan were on your list last year.
They didn't make my tiers?
You're too busy yelling at me about something, I would imagine.
Ryan, you had JSN at 13, and then you had Zay at 20.
Okay.
Quentin at 27. But Jordan Addison did not make either of your tier lists last year.
He's another example of a guy. We talk about Brian Branch all the time. He ran a slow 40 time, Rick. I think it was 4.49 or something. That's not slow. And he played fast, and he was undersized. He may have been sub 180. I'll double check, but he was pretty light, which again, maybe I'll move Ladd up to top 10 based on, got to quit listening to the numbers so much, Rick. All right. I have Braylon Trice in this tier five as well. He may end up getting drafted a little later. I know he plays a little stiff, but I thought he was incredibly productive. What are you grunting about?
He's middle, second to lower second. I wouldn't have put him in your tier. I would have put him in your bonus tier.
All right. I get it.
Rake Straw, I would have put in your bonus tier.
I'm not reversing engines on Rake Straw. I like the way he plays.
I do too.
What about the push recently that Jackson
Powell? Boy, ever since the fans or the listeners got on you about Graham Barton, you keep burying him. Just go with your gut instinct. Don't cower to what the people say.
No, I had Graham right about here the whole time. I was going to ask you that. Are you taking Graham Barton or Jackson Powers Johnson? Because there's a push that Graham could go ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm taking Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay. Now, I've always had him, Graham, as a late first, early second. Maybe he goes 15. I don't know. We'll find out together in 10 days, Rick. All right, my bonus tier, tier six. These are guys that I think are all going to go on day two, early day two. I'm riding the Keon Coleman train as well. I know he ran the 4.61, but he was the fastest wide receiver in the gauntlet. We've talked that to death. In terms of some of the metrics, he was one of the most explosive in terms of playmakers. And then Braden Fisk, Mikey Sanders still, undersized slot guy. I love the way he plays. He could go around this range, I've heard. Xavier Leggett, maybe a little rich for Xavier, but I thought he in – where are you on the one-year wonder? I know sometimes that throws a flag up for you. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for Xavier?
It's a concern. It's a something you need to talk about thing.
Okay. And then Chris Braswell, we've rarely talked about Christian Braswell just over the course of the draft process. Do you think this is around the range he get drafted?
I think he'll go in a second round. Yeah. I do.
Gosh, I think he's such a good player. It's just hard to.
His biggest issue is he can rush the passer, but he needs to be a little bit more consistent getting off blocks versus the run.
And he plays with a ton of energy.
Good football player.
Yep. Jalen Polk out of Washington. Kool-Aid goes here early second for me. Rick hates it. Yeah, he can go late first. I mean, there's only 32 picks in the first round.
Debo, can we put a dollar that Kool-Aid goes in the first?
We can do that. I'm fine with that, Debo.
On the books.
In the books. Tyler Newbin, he ran in the 4.6s. He's my best safety. Is he your best safety in this class?
Yeah.
Do you think he goes middle of second, or is that too high?
I think somewhere in the middle to low second.
Yeah, I like the way he plays. And when we talk to him, I like the way he handled himself as well. Zach Frazier is the other center the Steelers fans talk about after Jackson Powers Johnson. He's here at 43 on my board. Steelers pick at 51 if you're interested. So they're going to perhaps have to trade up. Are those conversations you have, Rick? If we do X in the first round, we're going to have to trade up for Y in the second?
It depends on if other teams fill needs.
Yeah.
You're doing it in live time, making adjustments as the teams fill their needs.
Okay. But you're having some.
So if I'm sitting there where Pittsburgh is and I don't see a threat ahead of me of someone taking them, or a threat within five picks below me of someone trying to jump me, then I'll sit there and hold and take my chances.
Gotcha. And then Jordan Morgan and Xavier Worthy round out the bonus tier. Guys that I think are going to go in the second round at some point. Jordan Morgan. I think he has a chance. Here's the question. More likely to go in the first round. I think I know your answer. Jordan Morgan or Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Please.
should we make another dollar bet on that? Who gets
keep rolling them in.
Yeah. Who gets drafted higher, Jordan Morgan or Kool-Aid? I'll take Jordan Morgan, Debo. Doesn't have to be a first-round pick. Just who goes
are you just giving away dollar bills?
Uh-oh, hold on.
Why?
Say it again. My earphone fell out.
I said, why would you even make a bet like that?
I think Jordan played pretty well last year. He was a year removed from ACL. I think he's going to get better and stronger and more stout. He's a good athlete. He had a good Senior Bowl.
Okay.
Played pretty well against Leatu Latu when they faced UCLA.
The object of the dollar bets is to
win.
Try to win.
Now you tell me. I don't think it's that outrageous. Why do you think it's outrageous?
Because someone's going to take Kool-Aid. He's the corner. They're going to be harder to find before that tackle.
All right. If people have made it this far into the podcast, do you agree with Rick or do you agree with me? That's all I ask.
Just go with a guy who wins all the money. I'm just as a bit of advice.
Okay. All right. Where does Jordan Morgan get drafted on the Rick board?
He'll get drafted in the second round early. Okay. Because the offensive tackles, when you come back, everybody starts meeting again about two, three hours before the draft, looking at what's left on the board, looking at what teams filled, if you needed a tackle. Now, I would go get Jordan Morgan before I'd get Zach Frazier.
Right.
Because I think Jordan Morgan can play tackle. He may be slide inside the guard, where I think Zach Frazier is a good football player, but he's a center only.
And finally, Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver in the 4-2-1, weights 165. How high would you draft him?
Second round, mid-second.
Any chance he goes in the first?
He may, but I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah. I like him. I think I like him a little more than you, but I still would take him in the second round. It's just too many variables. Xavier Worthy or Keon Coleman? Who would you take?
Coleman.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Would you guys like a $1 bets update?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what we got. Let's see where we're at. How much money I got to take out before I see Rick next week when we get together?
All right. So, in the case of Ladd McConkey under a 4.45 40 at the combine, which Rick had.
Rick had under 4.45?
That's a win for Rick.
Dang it.
In the case of Ricky Pearsall under 4.5 40 for Rick, that is a victory for Rick. And in the case of Jalen Wright sub 4.4 40 at the combine for Rick, that is 3-0 with $3.
A lot of coffee.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I'm just guessing. But you say
I won one. Business,
huh?
I think I won one bet at some point, didn't I?
Well, no bet here. Marvin Harrison Jr. 4.45 or lower, which Rick said, but we never got.
That's a loss of Rick because he didn't do it.
Maybe Marvin was afraid. I don't know. We'll have to go. Got to get a judgment call on that one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you just can go. The easiest way to do it is go see if there was anything publicized for his max speed in a game this year, and then convert that to what that would equate to a 40 time.
Oh, so you cheated. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I'm just saying that's how you would do it if you really wanted to go.
When and you're
nothing, yeah, when Debo's not flying around the country gallivanting or whatever the hell he does.
By the way, someone Ryan, asked me.
I can go back to the season. You had a couple of losses, but a couple of wins. Will Anderson over 8.5 sacks. That fell short. He did win Rookie of the Year, but Rick lost that one because he finished with 7.
Okay.
Stetson Good. Bennett did definitely not start two games.
I missed that one. Jeez. Dang it. All right. All right. We'll add all these up after the draft and I'll.
It's just, I can't. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
It really is like shooting fish in a barrel. Shooting fish in a barrel might be more difficult, if we're being honest about it. God. By the way, Rick, I was going to say, someone actually tweeted at me, I think, and asked what Rick's shortcut was for the 40 time, and it's 2 strides, 5 yards, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So at full length, when they're opened up and running as fast as they can they cover 5 yards and 2 strides?
There you go. I only need 1.5 strides, but that's, we'll talk about that later. All right. 4'6" Spielman rolling his eyes. One last thing. Before we get out of here, you may note that there's some extra podcasts in the old podcast feed. Those are all our ultimate mock drafts. We are 31 teams in, have one team to go. That one team is the Steelers. One very eager fan, Rick, cannot wait to hear you and I do the Green Bay Packers, which we did last week. That'll be live soon. So that's why the feed is full of all sorts of stuff this in the lead up to the draft. That will.
How come I only got to do one of those?
You're so busy, I think, is what happened.
Okay.
But you're certainly more. You might be doing the Steelers when B-Mac backs out. So we'll find out.
I heard that. It was contractual.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. And the other thing is the Troy Faitanu interview will be in the feed. Hopefully by the time you hear this, that was great. Not in the feed, but on YouTube at NFL and CBS. YouTube exclusive. So check that out. But in the meantime, for my guy Rick and Debo, Mr. Producer, I'm Ryan Wilson. Thanks to all you guys who watch, listen, comment, and we will see you guys later this week.